Esther chapter number 4, verse number 10. Again Esther spake unto Hatach, and gave him commandment unto Mordecai. All the king's servants and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king these 30 days. And they told to Mordecai Esther's words. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house, more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer, Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me, neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. So Mordecai went his way, and did according to all that Esther had commanded him. And that's all we'll read. We'll back up maybe just a little in this book and think how we got to this point in this place. So the king here, Ahasuerus was the king's name. You read that in the first part of this book. He was with the country of the Medes and the Persians. This was the country that overcame and overrun Babylon. In Belshazzar's day. And they took over that kingdom that Nebuchadnezzar once reigned over. And he had a wife, a queen. Her name was Vashti. She was called to come in before the king. She refused to do as the king said. And she was removed from being the queen for her disobedience. And it was determined that there would be a search made through all the provinces. This kingdom had 127 provinces, and all of the fair maidens in the land was to be brought to the palace, and the king was going to select one of those ladies to be the next queen. And so all of these young virgins, they come, and you know, they've all got aspirations. They all a desirable place to be. They all desire this place. They all come, and they're all presented to the king. And out of all those women, here's this. She was an orphan. Her uncle adopted her, Esther. She's chosen, a Jew. She's chosen to be the queen out of all of the fair virgins that were in the land, handpicked by the king. And you know, you can see the providence of God. And Mordecai is going to call her to that to her attention. How that God's providence has brought us to this day and to this place. And so here she is, and an enemy of the Jews has made a law that all of the Jews in the land were to be killed on such and such day. And so they were awaiting that day, and this is the reason Mordecai is, he's sad, he's heartbroken, he's in sackcloth and ashes at the gate, and he sends to Esther. And he says, you're going to have to go into the king, and you're going to have to make intercession. You're in this place. Nobody else can get in before the king. It's up to you to get there. And this is how she replies. She said, look, there's a law in this land. You can't just go in before the king whenever you want to. Not even me as the queen, none of his servants. They can't come unless they're called to come. And if he doesn't, maybe he had a staff with a scepter on the end of it. I don't know exactly how it was. But when you come in uninvited, if he didn't hand the scepter out, if he didn't lower the scepter, then you were to be killed immediately. And so she's afraid. She said, I've not been called. This is going to put my life at risk. But I want you to know this. If we could know one thing, it's that there's no such thing as a coincidence. He says, and I've quoted it and we've read it a little, one of these days, I want to go through that whole chapter in Romans chapter 8. But he says there, we know that all things work together for good. Amen. To them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. You know what's being wrought in everything and in every situation? The purpose of God is being wrought. And you know, sometimes the providence is great. God's providence that brought Esther to the king's house, that made her the queen. No doubt she eat the king's rations. Everything she wanted or desired she could have. That was a great blessing. But look now, the providence has brought her to a place she don't want to have to do and she don't want to have to go. And I want you to think just a couple little places about God's providence. You know, Joseph was one of the 12 brethren there, and his brothers hated him. They hated him because Jacob favored him. And then they hated him even more because God gave him dreams that him and his parents were going to bow down and worship him. They despised him. It was evil. It was wicked. They sought to kill him and take his life. But instead, he was spared and he was sold to Ishmaelites. He was took to Egypt. He was sold in Egypt to Potiphar. He was accused of rape of Potiphar's wife, and he was cast in the prison. Now, you look at that and say, boy, that was wicked there. But listen to the wisdom of Joseph. This is in Genesis 45, verse 5. Joseph here has revealed himself to his brothers. His brothers are afraid because they know what they did to him. They're afraid he's going to take vengeance on them now. But Joseph says this, "Now therefore be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves, that you sold me hither. For God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years that hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years, in the which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house." And he's going to go on to say, maybe more famously, "As for ye, ye thought it evil, but God meant it for good." So Joseph's in a place here, and you know, no doubt, as his brothers are throwing him in a pit, and they're discussing whether they're going to kill him or not, as he's drugged down to Egypt and sold to be a servant, as he's falsely accused and cast in the prison, those are difficult places to say, boy, God's providing for me here. But in the end, Joseph's able to look and recognize, look, it wasn't my brothers that had me sent down here. This was God's hand all along. And if we could see that and believe that God is indeed in control of everything round about us, if we could see that and believe that, believing that God is working all things together for good to them who are the called according to His purpose, if you could believe that, that would carry us a whole long ways out of doubt and fear and worry. But Joseph said, your hearts meant it for evil. You meant to do me hurt. You meant to cast me down. Was their heart evil? It absolutely was. There was evil in their hearts. It was evil what they did. But it was the hand of God that allowed every bit of that to happen for His purpose. That Joseph would be down in Egypt, would be raised up to be the prince, would interpret the dreams of Pharaoh, and would save the earth from starving during this famine. So, was it evil? It was. But God was behind it every bit. God's behind everything that goes on. whether you believe that or not. Preacher, it's evil. Well, think about the providence of God in Jesus' life. Was it evil that they hated him? Was it evil that they beat him? Was it sin that they crucified him? It absolutely was. But you know what it also was? It was the providence and the hand of God that allowed that to happen. Just as Joseph's going to save the world from starving to death in a famine, the Lord Jesus is going to be crucified that the world might be saved from its sins. And so even in these places where these atrocious acts of evil are committed, you can see that the Lord is behind it working. Jesus said even this of himself. He said, "For this hour am I come. This is the cup that my Father's given me. Am I not going to drink it? This is why that I am here to suffer this death." And Peter said, "Lord, far be it from you that you would suffer like this. Far be it from you that you would be crucified in Jerusalem." And Jesus said, "Get behind me, Satan. You're not savoring the plan of God in every bit of this." Because there's things that Peter didn't see. When Joseph was in the prison, God was working things that he was unable to see. But here in his wisdom, he says, "It wasn't you that sent me here, it was God all along." God was working behind everything. Another place, maybe one you're very familiar with, the Israelites with Saul, they were going out to battle against the Philistines, and there was a great champion that would step out, and he would challenge Goliath, the great giant, and all the men were afraid, and they cowered in fear. And this giant, the Bible says, he came out every morning for 40 days and made his challenge. And there wasn't a man in the camp that was willing to stand up and fight against this giant. And then one day, David, the youngest son of Jesse, he's got three older brothers down there in the battle, in the army. And Jesse says, "Listen, David, find somebody to watch the sheep for you. I want you to go down and check on your brothers. I want you to take them some cheese. I want you to take some of this money. If they owe anybody, I want you to pay that off. And I want you to go see how they're doing down there in the battle." So it looks like David is he's just going on a business trip here to see his family. But you know what's happening? God's working. David comes down and he gets there and he's talking to his brothers and he sees the giant. And he hears the challenge. And David says, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine?" And his brother says, "You just come down here because you're naughty. You come down here because you wanted to see some blood. And you wanted to see the battle." And David said, wise words. David said, "What have I now done? Is there not a cause? Is there not a reason that I'm here?" So you see, you look at it from man's perspective. You look at Joseph from man's perspective. And you say, "Boy, he's been done wrong. And I don't see how in the world the Lord could allow that to happen." You look at David's perspective here. And here's a young man that's just doing what his daddy told him. And he's going to check on his brothers. But we've got a zoomed out picture of everything. And we can see, you know what's happening here? God's working here. God's bringing David down, and he's going to use David to slay the giant. God has brought Joseph down to Egypt, and he's going to use Joseph to save the world. And so here is Esther. Esther is in the king's house. She's there by the providence of God. She's enjoyed blessing. She's enjoyed goodness, but now the time's come. Esther, it's time for you to go in to the king. And she says, "You know, I can't go in there. It's a place of danger. It's a place that my life will be in peril." And I think in her mind, she's thinking, "I'm most likely going to die. I'm most likely not going to survive if I go in before the king." This scripture it's wrongly interpreted a lot. We'll try our best to just stay with what the scripture says. But she's afraid. She's fearful, and she sends this back to Mordecai. And Mordecai says, Esther, don't think because you're in the king's house that your life is not in danger as well. Don't think that you're going to escape this judgment. And God forbid that we ever think that we're above. That is dangerous. There's no ground more dangerous for a Christian than to think that you're above anything. The very warning in Romans 12, verse 3, let not any man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. It's dangerous when we begin to think that we're above service unto God, that we're above suffering, and that we're above trouble. He says, don't think that because you're at the king's house, you're going to avoid this judgment. No, and if thou hold thy peace, listen to this now. If thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Mordecai is certain of this, that God is going to deliver and do. No matter what Esther does, God's going to deliver and God's going to do. I've heard this scripture, I've heard it so many times. And the fingers pointed between people's eyes and says, now this says that if you don't do, then people aren't going to be saved. Well, that's not what Mordecai's saying to Esther. Mordecai's saying, God's going to work no matter what you do. God's going to deliver no matter what you do. But know this, thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. So, in Isaiah 45, let me turn there and read it maybe. Isaiah 45. Verse number 1, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand have I holden, to subdue nations before him. I will loose the loins of kings to open before him the two-leaved gates, and the gates shall not be shut. Skip down to verse 4, for Jacob my servant's sake, and Israel mine elect, I have even called thee by name, I have surnamed thee, though thou hast not known me. So here is when they're in captivity down in Babylon. And God here, hundreds of years before Cyrus, and years before they ever go into captivity, God is naming the king that is going to bring deliverance from Babylon for the people of God. You know, God, it doesn't matter to God whether it's a pagan king or not. God's going to accomplish his purpose no matter what. But here it is. Providence has brought us to where we are. Is there not a cause that we're where we're at? Is there not a purpose in where we are? God's providence has provided all these things for Esther. God's providence has took her up to the king's house. And who knoweth whether thou art come into the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther, you've enjoyed God's promise. You've enjoyed God's goodness. You've enjoyed God's favor. You've enjoyed His providence that when you were just one young lady in the midst of maybe 1,000, maybe even far greater than 1,000 women that was there before the king, God's providence allowed you to be one that was selected. It was God's providence that's brought you to the king's house. It's God's providence that's taken you this far. And could you see that? It's, you know, it's very easy to look back and see God's hand through our life. It's very easy to look back at places where we've been and things that we've done and say, boy, God protected me right there. Or God prevented me from making a great mistake right there. It was God's hand that kept me out of trouble in that situation. And it was God then that kept me from going over the edge and doing something that I would have greatly regretted. You can see God's providence looking back. But what about right now? It's hard on Esther right now. She's afraid. She's fearful. But do you know what it's come time to do? It's come time to be obedient. Does God's providence provide? God absolutely does. But there is obedience that's required. This may be, Esther, this may be the very reason that you've been brought into the kingdom. God has raised you up that you might accomplish His purpose in this situation. God has put you in the king's house that you might accomplish this work, and that deliverance might come through to the Jews through you. This was God's plan. You know, just like it was Joseph, it was God's plan that through Joseph, He would save the world alive and feed them. Well, here He's put Esther in the king's house that she might accomplish this work. Esther, don't be afraid. Don't refuse to go in. This may be, who knoweth, is what Mordecai said. Do you know whether or not that God brought you here for this purpose? What happens if we don't do? Well, Mordecai says, if you don't, God's going to bring deliverance from somewhere else, but you're going to be punished for that. You know, the Lord Jesus says, you can read it in Matthew, you can read it in Luke, that the servant that knew his Lord's will and did it not shall be beaten with many stripes. And James says to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So you know what there is? There's a duty that Christians have to the Lord. There's a duty in service that we have as the Lord's provided, as the Lord's brought us, as the Lord's blessed, and as the Lord's given. He's brought us to these places, and I'm not going to try to name places. If the Lord's Spirit would help you, may you be helped through this. But as we've been brought to these places, could we at least say, God, I realize that You're in control of all things. I realize that You're the one that's provided for me through my life, and I believe You're the one that's going to provide through the rest of my life. May I trust Your hand in Your favor, and may I in this place, may I in the place that I'm in today, may I be obedient and follow You and accomplish the purpose that You've laid out before me. So Esther, she's afraid. She doesn't want to go in. She's fearful. And Mordecai's saying, look, God's brought you here. He may have brought you for this very day, that you might go in and that you might make an intercession for all of the people. Do I know that? I don't know that in my day. I don't believe Esther knew that for sure in her day. And Mordecai says, who knoweth? So I don't know that he knew that. But why was she where she was? Why was Esther chosen to be the queen? Why did God save you? Why did God call you? Why did God change you? Could we not, like David, say, I mean, honest, I don't see any reason why He had saved me. I look back through my life and I can't figure out why in the world. Why He would waste His time on something like me. He could have done far better than me. He could have done far better. And if you want to narrow it down, He could have done far better than every one of us. There could have been better found than every one of us. But you know what He's done? He's picked us out of all the fair virgins in the land. And here we are. Here we sit at Zion Baptist Church. Here we sit in our families, on our job. Here we are in every situation that we're in. God's called us. He's put us where we are. Could we not, like David, say, Lord, is there not a cause that we're here? Whether I see this cause or not, I pray that You would help me to trust You in the place that I'm in, and let me be obedient to that You would have me to do. Why, preacher, God's going to do whether I do or not. That's exactly right. But He's brought you here that you might be used, that you might be blessed, and that you might be strengthened through it. Because the servant that knows better and does anyway is going to be beaten with many stripes. That's the Lord's word. That's not my words. And I believe that's exactly what Mordecai's saying. Esther, if you don't go in, God's going to deliver, but you're going to be destroyed. Why is she going to be destroyed? Because she is not doing as the Lord would lead. Did the Lord provide? Why, preacher, the Lord's going to provide for me. The Lord's going to provide for my family. The Lord's going to provide for so-and-so. Well, you know who God may provide for them through? It might be you that He provides. He's called and saved you. Could it not be you? You be the one that He's going to provide for them for. Could it not be you that's the one that's going to teach them? Could it not be you the one that's going to instruct them? Could it not be us that God's going to use to save and deliver somebody from darkness? Could it not be our words that could help somebody? Could it not be our words that might lead somebody to the truth? I tell you why, preacher, God's going to save. I absolutely believe that. He'll save with me or without me. But may I, in the place that God's put me, may I be obedient to Him in my place. Amen. There's no excuse for a neglect of duty. There's no excuse. Well, preacher, I don't think God's going to do that. I believe in maybe in a roundabout way, I believe that's what Esther was saying. You're asking too much. I don't believe God's going to do that. I believe if I go in, I'm going to die. And people say today that that's too much for me to do. That's asking too much out of me. When of a truth, if it wasn't for the hand of God, we'd be an outcast and an orphan, and spiritually, we'd be beggars with nothing. But the Lord's providence has brought us to this place that we might serve Him and that we might accomplish His purpose. Who knoweth whether thou art come unto the kingdom for such a time as this? And so here we are. You know what we're in? We're in a day that's difficult. A day that there's spiritual lies everywhere you look. A day when the world has completely lost any bit of reasoning about what's right and what's wrong. And it's got beyond relationships that are hidden and hid away. It's got down to the schools and everywhere else that there's foolishness and ignorance and ungodliness and all manner of rebellion in man's heart everywhere that you look. And you say, boy, it'd have been better to have been alive so many years ago. But you know where the Lord's brought us to? He's brought us to this hour. He's put us in this time. He's put us in this place. I wish I was in another place. Oh, I tell you, our hearts can think that way sometimes. But recognize that God is behind everything that's going on. God's still in control. And He's going to work everything to the good. Just let me be obedient to Him. Let me be a follower of Him in every situation that I'm put in. Because God may have brought me to this hour for this purpose. So what does she do? I believe when she hears this, when she hears these words of Mordecai, she says, yeah, he's right. God's brought me here for some reason. Could we not all say that? Could we not all say that there's some reason, whether we know it or not right now, there is a reason and there is a purpose that God has called us, that He's changed us, and that He's saved us. This may be the very reason that God called me in this situation, that I would stand and that I would do as He commanded. So He says here, she says, go gather all the Jews that are present in Shushan, fast for me, neither eat nor drink for 3 days. I and my maidens are going to eat and drink for 3 days. Her heart now intending to go in. She says, if I perish, I perish. I'm going to do this. I'm going to follow. I'm going to go in before the king. I'm going to break this law, and I'm going to, I want you to be praying, and I'm going to pray. My maidens are going to pray. Have all of the people pray. Have all of the church pray that the will of God be done here for His grace and for His protection. You know where she's at? She's in a place of fear. I believe with all of my heart that she feared and that she dreaded going in before the king. And she says, look, let's fast and pray and seek after God's help. What ought we to do when we're afraid? Oh, I tell you, when I'm afraid, the psalmist said in Psalm number 55, I believe. Hold on, let me turn there and read just real quick. Psalm 56, I'm sorry. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. When fear overwhelms me, when I come to a place that my heart is fearful and that I don't want to move forward, the psalmist says, when I'm afraid, I'll trust You. Where do we need to go when we're afraid? I tell you, we fall on our face before the Lord. And there's no shame, ladies and gentlemen, in saying, church, would you pray? Would you help me to pray? Esther says, I need you to pray, Mordecai. I need you to pray for me that God would strengthen and encourage me and help me that I would not be afraid and that I would do His will. She is just a weak woman. I'm going to tell you, the Lord Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane, as He's hours away from being beaten and mocked and crucified, and His life being taken from Him, He took Peter, James, and John, and He said, wait here and pray. The spirit is willing, my inner man is willing, but my flesh is weak. Pray that you enter not into temptation. And the Lord Jesus went and He prayed, and He said, now you look back at everything the Lord said, and He said, I've come to give my life. I've come to be the Lamb of God. I've come for this day. I'm going to be crucified and in 3 days raised again. He said that over and over and over. And do you know where you find Him? The evening before His arrest, He's on His knees before the Lord saying, Father, if it would be Thy will, if there's some other way, let this cup pass from me. But if not, nevertheless, not what I desire, but what You desire. You know where the Lord went? What time He was afraid? He fell on His face before the Lord. He prayed. He prayed in the garden. The psalmist in Psalm number 56, you know where he's at? He's praying unto the Lord. What time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee. When it starts to overwhelm me, I'm going to look to You. Listen to this in 2 Corinthians. Paul the Apostle in chapter number 4. He's wrote here in this chapter about all the suffering that he's went through. And you come down towards the end of this, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. So what's Paul saying? My suffering is for the good and for the benefit of the church. My suffering, he says, it's for you down at Corinth, that you might be encouraged, that you might see my suffering and be encouraged and strengthened. But I know this, that it's all going to redound to God's glory. And though our outward man perish, though our outward man is smitten, our inward man is renewed day by day. Now how can that be? For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh in us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So listen to what Paul's saying. Paul's saying, though I'm enduring affliction, though I'm enduring this trouble, Paul says, I know that this is working something that is far more exceeding and abundant in glory. I believe Paul had this confidence that though I suffer, God's going to work this to the good. That though I'm in this place, God's working something that's eternal. Because he says, I'm not looking at things that are temporary. I'm not looking at things that are worldly. If our hearts and minds, and if our joy and our peace is in things of this world, then it'll be like a roller coaster. Things will be good one day, and tomorrow they're going to be down in the dumps, and they'll be in the dumps for a little while, and then we'll climb out. You know what the problem is? Our eyes are on things of this world. But Paul says, I'm not looking at temporary things. My eyes are on the Lord, and I believe that in everything, he's working his will to his glory. So Paul is going to suffer and he's going to glory in it because he sees God working back of every bit of it. God's behind the scenes. When you look, you see the puppet show. But when you're behind, there's somebody behind there that's working all of those things that you're looking at. That's the way it is. You can see what's going on naturally, but remember that there is a God, not a God, but there is the God who's behind everything that loves you more than mom and daddy loves you more than grandparents ever loves you more than anybody ever has. There's a God in control of everything. And when I'm afraid, I'll trust in him. So Esther says, you pray. Should we pray? May God help us to pray. And so I will go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. You know what she's willing to do? Self-sacrifice. I'm willing to give of myself that the will of God be done. And if the will of God's going to be done, there will be sacrifices that have to be made. I will have to sacrifice in order for the will of God to be done. In Hebrews chapter 11, you read there very well-known scripture about the man Moses, that when he was come to years, and we're not talking about 18 years old, and you say, boy, that man made a terrible decision because he was young. No, Moses was full. He was a full 40 years. And do you know what the man did? He said, I'd rather suffer affliction than to enjoy the riches that's down in Egypt. I'd rather suffer with the people of God than to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. I'd rather give these things up that I might do the work that God has prepared for me. Think about the man Moses now. Here's a man that was born at a time that Pharaoh was killing every Jewish boy that was born. And his mother makes a little ark out of reeds and puts him on the water. And in just a minute or two, here's Pharaoh's daughter that draws him out. And he's brought up and he's educated and he's cared for. And at the age of 40, he's enjoyed all the good things of the kingdom. But you know what's going to happen? God's calling. So you know what Moses is going to have to do? All of the riches, all of the good that he growed up with in Pharaoh's house, he's going to have to refuse all of that in order to suffer affliction with the people of God. Now we look at Moses. I look at Moses and I think, what? I would love to be the man that Moses was. You know what Moses was? When it come time to be obedient, he was self-sacrificing. In the flesh, you think about it now, he went from being the prince of Egypt to keeping a man's sheep in the desert. And we would look at that and say, what an ignorant decision that man made. That was the stupidest move that anybody could have ever made. But you know what it was? He was being obedient to the call of God. Yeah. Preacher, I don't want to do that. It's going to cost too much. Esther said, I'm going. And if I perish, I perish. Paul said his heart was set to go to Jerusalem. And they said, if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to be bound and arrested and you're going to be killed. And it was every bit true. And Paul said, don't make me weep. Don't make me doubt. It's God's will that I go. It's God's will that I be arrested. It's God's will that I go to Rome. And it's God's will that I die. Oh, that what time I'm afraid, I will trust in Thee, that I might be obedient and followers of Thee. I won't cut you off here at the middle of the story. Esther goes in before the king. And the king's merciful. Reaches out the golden scepter to her. And he says, Esther, I'll grant you your wish, even unto half the kingdom. Oh, it went better than she ever imagined, didn't it? You know, the three Hebrew children, we think of the other side of the furnace. Put yourself on before the furnace, okay? Put yourself before they go in. And you know where they're willing to go? I'm willing to go in there and burn up. King, if we perish, we perish. But know this, we're not bowing and we're not serving your God. We're going to hold fast to the truth no matter what you do, and we're willing to go in there and perish. So the king heated her up and he threw them in. And the men that threw them in the furnace, they died from the heat of it. But you know what they saw? They saw a fourth man in the furnace with them. The Lord was in there with them. The Lord had brought them to that place, and the Lord didn't leave them there. The Lord went in the fire with them, and he brought them back out on the other side. Amen. The Lord ain't going to leave us in the fire. His providence has brought us here. His providence will see us through. Are there hard places? Esther's in a hard place. There are hard places. Is there tough situations? There are tough situations. But just as God's brought us here, we would not be here. I could say that in so many ways and it be true about me. I would not be here today if it was not for the Lord. As we can say that, know this, you can trust His providence tomorrow as well. He will be there. He's carrying us through. Why, preacher, why am I here? Why? And you know, I think of Joseph. I put myself in Joseph's shoes as Potiphar's wife lies on him and he's put down in the prison house and he's down there with all the criminals that's down in Egypt. And Joseph, an innocent and a good, maybe the best man there was in the world in that day. You know what I'm going to say? What in the world have you brought me here for? Wouldn't you say, God, what am I doing here? Why am I here? We say that a lot. But what time I'm afraid, I'll trust. The Lord will deliver. And we're here for His purpose and for His glory in the end. So what should we do? May God help us. And let's do as Esther did. Let's pray one for another. Let's pray and seek God one for another, that when we're in the place of the fire, that we would be strong and be obedient. Let's pray one for another that when the pressure's on, when the devil is pressuring, when the enemy is pressuring, when wickedness is pressuring, that we might hold fast to the gospel, that we might keep the faith, as Paul says, that we might endure hardness as a good soldier and go onward for the Lord. May we pray one for another that when we're found in this place, we'll do as Esther and go onward. Now the Lord asked those three men to pray for him. Watch and pray. And he come back the first time, and they were asleep. And he come back the second time, and they were asleep. And he went to pray the third time, and he came back, and they were asleep again. And the Lord said, sleep on now. They're coming. They're already at the door. There's no more time to pray. It's time now. You see what I'm saying? There was a time to pray before this happened, but now at this point it was too late. Judas and the chief priests, they was already in the garden coming to arrest the Lord. There was no more time to pray. Oh, that while we've got time, while that there's time today, let us pray. Let us seek the Lord's face. Let us seek for His help, because the day is coming that we will require His help. May we seek the Lord today while He's given us time. That's all that's on our heart. We'll stand for just a minute. If